Congress has begun holding hearings on the president's new welfare plan. On Capitol Hill yesterday, Health and Human Services Secretary Tommy Thompson said the plan puts a new emphasis on marriage.
Children living in single-parent households are, on average, 5 times more likely to be poor, 2 to 3 times more likely to use drugs, experience educational, health, and emotional problems, and be victims of abuse. Thus, it is simply common sense to redirect our policies to encourage the formation and maintenance of healthy marriages.
Encouraging couples to marry is a new role for the federal government, but some researchers are asking whether a welfare program that plays Cupid will really promote good and lasting marriages. NPR's Greg Allam reports.
Wade Horn is a firm believer in marriage. Even before taking the job heading the federal welfare program, Horn worked to promote marriage and to involve fathers in their children's upbringing. Horn says when welfare reform came due for renewal this year, he saw it as an opportunity. He says the new welfare initiative could make available to poor families the kind of counseling and skills training available to more affluent couples.
Why not do some innovation in this area to determine whether, in the context of welfare reform, we can help those low-income couples who are either in the process of choosing marriage or who have already chosen marriage because they, in fact, are married, develop that skill set so that they can provide for themselves and for their kids a healthy marriage.
There is no question but that healthy marriages are good for children. But experts wonder if the marriages encouraged by the program will indeed be healthy ones. Andrew Cherlin is a professor of public policy at Johns Hopkins University who studied families who received welfare over the course of a year and a half. He found that a high number of the couples living together, 40%, broke up during that time, and 1 out of 6 of the marriages ended. Cherlin says unstable relationships are often worse for children than no marriage at all.
There's research now that suggests that for children, the sheer number of changes in family structure that they have to go through may be more difficult than living with a single parent. So if we put kids in situations where we're going to be changing their living arrangements several times, we might put them in more harm than if we just leave them where they are.
Ironically, marriage as an institution is on the rebound. The percentage of children being raised in households headed by 2 adults is actually rising. But Cherlin says in the group he studied, most of the increase was among step families and families where the mom has a live-in boyfriend. He says a government program that encourages welfare recipients to get married will probably create more step families, and that may not be in the best interests of the children.
That's because there's a lot of research that shows that kids in step families don't do much better than kids in single-parent families on outcomes such as teen pregnancy or high school graduation. So a policy which creates lots of step families is not going to benefit kids that much.
Others say the problem is not one of marriage, but of timing. Isabel Sawhill, a welfare expert with the Brookings Institution, says the vast majority of American women, some 90%, eventually do get married. She believes the emphasis and the government funding should not be on marriage, but on keeping young, unmarried women from having babies in the first place.
Very young marriages are highly unstable, and the focus, I think, should be on encouraging those young girls to finish their education, get established in a job, and then find a lifetime partner and not have a baby until they're a little older.
We are not out trying to find people partners because they have kids.
Wade Horn says the government can do both, reduce teen pregnancies and encourage healthy marriages. In the past, Horn believes government has been afraid to talk about marriage with poor mothers. And he says an effective time to talk about it is when an unwed couple has just had a baby.
Now, if we believe some of the research, about half of those couples will answer yes, that they are, in fact, actively contemplating marriage. Well, with that half, why not say, hey, look, there's something called premarital education. It might be helpful to you. You don't have to go to it if you don't want to, but it might help you develop the skills to be able to form and sustain a healthy marriage if you decide to go forward with that.
Horn says there's been a lot of controversy about an optional, relatively small part of the federal welfare program. He points out that the $300 million allocated for the federal marriage initiative represents only a tiny fraction of the total $17 billion budget for welfare. In the meantime, he asks, why should it be so controversial if government asks people, have you thought about getting married? Greg Allen, NPR News, Washington.